Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
I said, aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And you understand, in the kingdom of God has a spirit. It's the Spirit. He is known as the Holy Ghost. And last week we saw specifically that when God formed man out of the dust of the earth, before he became a living being, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In Genesis, we see when God breathes, something takes place. Now, it doesn't say it in Genesis, but it does say it over in the Gospels. It says it very specifically in John chapter 20 and verse 22. Jesus, when he had said this to his disciples, he's died, he's risen from the dead, he's poured out his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, he's come back to the planet, and he's being a witness before 500 people. He walks through a wall, sees his disciples, and in the second verse of John chapter 20, he says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, when in doing that, you got to understand this, that when God the Father breathed into the nostrils of this man he formed out of the dust of the earth, then the same action took place. The third person of the Godhead went inside of Adam. We are not alive without the Holy Spirit. Okay. That was. We are not alive without the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the great deception. Because you're sitting in here today and you're breathing, you somehow think you're alive. Well, your body is functioning based upon a natural progression, but you are more than the sum total of your body or your thinking. Okay? You are a spirit, and on the inside of you is a spirit that's either alive to God or dead to God. Now you say, well, how do I know? I'll tell you. Unless you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, your spirit man is dead. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to candy coat it. Your spirit man is dead. And you do not pursue God, even when you pursue religion. Because religion is just, I want to try to be right with this God, because if there is one, then maybe I'll live good enough that when I stand before him one day, he's not going to, you know, reject me, because if I do good like other people good, how could he do that? He can totally do it, because your motive is selfish, your motives are evil, even if you think they're good. But he made provision, and he made provision for you so crystal clear that he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus clears the whole playing field on how to have a relationship with God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That got rid of every religion known to man today. Now, that can offend people. They're like, well, my gosh, that's so narrow-minded. No, it's not. It's called very clear. It's called, listen, I don't know what kind of test you like to take. Me personally, I like to pass them. So, if I gave you a test, here's the question. How do I get right with God? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We just gave you all these options. Only one's right. Or I gave you a test. How do we get right with God? A, Jesus. You decide which test you want to take. Because here's the thing, Jesus is not in their list. Jesus said, if you want to be right with God, there's only one answer. It's me. I eliminate. Aren't you loving when you do more? You can say, okay, I can get rid of A and I can get rid of this. But the ones I always hate, it's going to be both B and C. Oh, gosh. So you get those, A, B, C, D. D, all of the above. And most of us want to say that one. Right? But then they trick you, go A, B, C, and then D is both C and B. Oh, because you are confident with C, but you don't know about B. Right? And you get into anxiety over these things. Hyperventilate, lose sleep. Right? I mean, I'm not even secure with true and false. because there's another option. But you put A. Only way I get it wrong is not by circling it. So Jesus said, I got a new test for you. I'm the only way. The only way you don't pass is don't circle me, because the rest of it ain't even on the table. Hallelujah. So you're only alive if you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. Then the Bible says you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But it gets better than this. But wait, there's more, right? It gets better. Why? Because he doesn't just make you a child of God. He takes up residence inside you. And this is what changes Jesus from every. There is no other religion. You study it out for yourself if you want to. No other religion talks about God in you. God is not hit. With Jesus, it's not about you coming to me. It's about me coming to you.
Yeah.
It's about me residing with you. It's about me being in you. Now, ultimately, to be absent from the body, you'll be present with the Lord. But you don't have to wait until you get there to be with him. He says, I'll come and be with you.
Yeah.
We pray this prayer all the time and we hear it all the time. But do we believe it? Get this today. You ready? Our Father, say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom,
come.
What?
Come.
What?
Come.
What?
Come.
Your will be
done.
On,
earth.
On,
earth.
On,
earth.
As it is.
Amen.
Notice he didn't say, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, kill us as quick as we get rice. Come and be with you. Our Father, who art in heaven, be your name. Help me hold on down here in the earth, because one day I'll die and I'll be with you forever in heaven. Lord, give me patience while I'm down here apart from you. No, the whole name, he says, you name him Emmanuel, which means God with, not us with God. It's not us with God, it's God with us. Now, he can't be with us until we're in his family. And we get in his family by being born again, which literally means born from above.
Right.
Born from above. That means we take on a new nature, a new character, a new lifestyle. In fact, we get the DNA of God himself, because God is spirit.
Yeah.
And so we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we have to, our spirit man has to come alive to God. And when it does, then the Holy Ghost will come and live on the inside of us, the third person of the Godhead. Wow. Wow. Can this sink in for a moment? Say this with me. Say, God lives in me. Man, if we could just get this revelation as a child of God lives in me. If God lives in me, then God's right here. If God lives in me, then God lives right. If God lives in me, then he's right. You want to feel God? He's in here. You see what I'm saying? He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. And I'm not possessed of him.
Come on.
I invited him.
Right.
He didn't say, I'm coming up in here.
Right.
No, he knocked at the door and said, hey, can I come?
Yeah.
If you'll invite me, I'll show up. And I created everything.
Right.
Amen. We love God the Father. Why? Because he's up there and we're down here. He's up there and we're down here. He's up there and we're down here. We love Jesus. Why? Jesus took care of all sin. So that means everything we've ever done wrong, he took care of it. And we say, okay, Jesus, I accept it. He'll just forgive us of all that stuff. We love that. But he's up there, we're down here. We just need him to remember us when we get up there.
Yes.
And we need to remember whatever day we said that prayer, because that's what we're thinking. But the Lord said, it ain't like that. All those things were in play because before Adam fell from dominion, I was down there. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, made man in his image according to his likeness, and said that the Father walked in the cool of the day. Adam wasn't waiting to get to heaven. Heaven showed up all the time. came down, was right there. God was there, God was with him. But when Adam rebelled, when he ate the fruit that God said, do not eat, sin entered the world, death came in. And as a result of that, the Holy Ghost had to leave Adam, and God had to be more at a distance and could only come upon people just to continue to get his course of action, his plan to redeem humanity and set everything back to its original intent with Jesus. Amen? But Jesus said, when Jesus comes, it's going to be God in you. It's going to be God in you. It's going to be God in you. Hallelujah. We become children of God. So Jesus says, it's to your advantage I go. And everybody loves Jesus. But Jesus says, it's better I'm not even here. Because if I go, he comes. Which means we need to know him. And the Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Now, in our day and age, you say ghost, and that's just nothing but terror, horror, you know, horror films, all that. How can God be scary? You know, God's not a horror person. You know, that's just spirit or ghost and that kind. He's unseen. Yes, that's right. But he's alive. Amen. Amen. There are other unseen spirits that are out there, and there are those that are not on God's side, and they know they're already defeated. I said, they know they're already defeated. And all they're doing is trying to deceive you so you'll get defeated instead of getting in God's kingdom. Are you with me? So we saw last week then that we need to understand who this person is, because he should govern our lives so that we will be the very express nature to the world of who God is to a world that needs Jesus. Are you with me? This week, I want to talk to you a little bit about how it is that we navigate ourselves with the Holy Ghost in us, okay? So in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, we first have to understand this, that before we were alive to God, we did not follow God, we did not acknowledge God, we did not even go after God. Even if we thought we were going after a God, it was not him, okay? And our pursuits, or the way we thought about doing things, were not in connection with God. In fact, we were messed up in our minds. And because of that, we thought we were doing something great, but the Bible tells us that what we thought was right really wasn't right. Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Okay? So we know this. New Living says it this way. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Amplified says it this way. There's a way that seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it, it's the way of death. Here's the thing. If you're not connected to God, you can't do God things. And everything you think you're doing that is towards God is actually away from God. Because if you're not alive to God, you cannot follow God's word. Okay? So, in this dispensation where God lives in us, the requirement is that we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and then allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. So, we need to go in a direction that is clearer than just seems right to only us. Amen. And here's the problem. When you're born again, your spirit man is changed. God does that. You cannot do that. Right. You could never change your spirit.
Right.
Only God does that. He gives you a new spirit, and it's in the likeness of God. Then the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost, we're going to read it here in just a second, will bear witness to your spirit you are a child of God, meaning you know I'm alive to God. All right? But your mind is your problem. That means you have the responsibility to change the way you think. And prior to knowing God, you made decisions on how it made you feel. Well, that makes me feel good. You know, that feels good. Well, you know, just that seems right. Yeah, it feels good. It feels good to do this. But the problem is, if you follow your feelings will fail you. Your feelings always lead you down the wrong road unless that feeling is literally connected to the Spirit. All right? So we know that we need to get our minds renewed to the things of God, and the Holy Ghost is the one who will help teach us on which way to go. He's there to train us, to teach us, to guide us into all truth. Okay? So let's look. We know we can follow him because the Bible says this is what the sons of God does. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the implication is, if you're a child of God, then the Spirit of God should be leading you. Now, before we got right with God, we were making a lot of decisions on our own and thought it was right. But most of the time, we found out they were wrong, or they turned out wrong, or they didn't, you know, something died in it. Something fell apart. Something didn't happen right. Okay? But if we will allow God to follow us, he'll take us down a path that will be prosperous, that will be for our good and for our benefit, and lead us to the place of success. So let's look at why we would follow the Holy Ghost. Again, I said we would look at this scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our what? Spirit that we are children of God. Guess what he is not testifying it to? Your mind. Your mind will never be convinced you're a child of God until you're convinced in your spirit. Because again, God is not changing your mind. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to subject yourself to the teaching of the Holy Spirit and allow your mind to be renewed. You must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis, which means you start in one state and turn to another state. Now, your spirit man is alive to God. It's righteous. It can't be any more like God. The problem is it's not coming out like that because it is filtered through your mind, your soul, your will, your intellect, the way you feel. How many of you woke up on a Monday morning and felt like not going to work? Right? You don't feel, why? Tell me why you don't feel like it. Do you hate your job? That may be some of your answers. Do you, you know, feel bad in your body? Are you tired? I mean, what is it that's telling you that? And if you went on your feelings, what would take place? You wouldn't go to work on Monday, which means Tuesday, do you think you'll get the same answer? I mean, seriously, how many of you believe that your body could tell you every day, don't go to work? Please. That's why most people are living for retirement, because their body is constantly telling them, aren't you tired of working? Get to a place where you can do whatever you want to do. And we're living every day for that day. Not for the purpose of God, but for, so I can get up when I want to get up, do what I want to do. Oh, I'm preaching now. But you hear another voice that talks to you on Monday morning, and it's a bill. Do you know your mortgage will talk to you? Your electric bill will get into bed with you and say, it's warm, huh? You better enjoy it, because when the electricity goes out, that's all you got. You might want to get out of bed and go to work and get that paycheck and keep me on. Right? You'll lay in the bed till your stomach says, what are you doing in here? I need something. Get your lazy butt out of the bed and make me something to eat. Right? Am I talking? And we make choices based upon this. I feel hungry, I have to eat. Even when we don't feel hungry, like, well, what do I do? Let's get something to eat. This hits me every night around 9:30 or 10. This is why I eradicate cereal out of my house, because if I don't, I'm like Superman. Kryptonite's in the closet. I'm in trouble. What are you doing, baby? I was hungry. At 10 o'clock, the cereal was saying, Pastor Earl, come get me out of this closet. My stomach's not saying, I need some cereal. My mind's saying, it's 10 o'clock. Come get some. Now, that doesn't mean the cereal gets out of the pantry, comes, beats me on the couch, and forces itself down. No, it starts talking, and I got to decide whether I'm going to entertain that or not. Do I act on that? Lord, what should I do? Should I eat? I'll pray over it. I sanctify it. If I learned how to rebuke calories, I'd let you all in on it. But it ain't happened. It's not happened. All right? So the Bible says his spirit testifies with our spirit. So that means from the spirit, we actually hear God. And then it comes to our minds. And at that point, we have to make a choice. I need to start thinking like what I just heard in my spirit by the Holy Spirit. I need to change that. I need to do this. Okay? This word testify means this. It means to provide confirming evidence by means of a testimony, to support by testimony, to provide supporting evidence. In essence, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings evidence to the table and says, you're a child of God. You are a child of God. And this evidence is irrefutable. It is irrefutable. It is firm. It's undeniable. It doesn't even contain reasonable doubt. It's foolproof. The problem is your mind is what creates reasonable doubt. And you've got to learn to train it and say, no, the Holy Ghost will tell me. If we break up this Greek word testify into its two parts, one means a marker between an object or event. The other means to provide information about a person or an event concerning which the speaker has direct knowledge, which literally means this. In every event in your life or every circumstance in your life or anything about you personally in life, the Holy Ghost knows. And why does he know? Well, let's look at some scripture, okay? Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same. He's the same. Jesus said, I don't speak anything on my own initiative, but only what I hear the Father says. Then he went on to say this, when he comes, that is the Spirit of truth, he will only say what I tell him. Now, when it comes to being a witness, has anybody ever gone and done jury duty before? Right? Has anyone gone to trial because you were a witness to something? Okay. Now, what does that mean? You are a witness. That means you went to court and you bore witness of something you saw. I remember one time I went to court, not court, but I went to a deposition because a particular individual was trying to develop a case against someone. It wasn't me, but against someone. I just happened to have a business relationship with the company they were coming against. And so they set me down in there with the attorneys, and basically they wanted me to testify of my relationship with this business thing. Okay? And so I gave testimony. Now, I know their intent is they wanted me to say something to help them their process. But I was truthful and honest. I said, as far as my situation is concerned, you know, there have been challenges, but they have been very generous as well. They didn't really care for my testimony because I didn't help their position. Are you with me? And nothing you can do about it, because if you're not going to tell the truth, I solemnly swear, tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me. Yeah, you bet, because he was in the room and he knows what took place and he knows what I needed to do, right? Well, what are witnesses? Those are those who can give an account for that which is the past or present. So right now you could give witness. If somebody walked in this room and say, can you pull you over and say, can you tell me who's preaching on the platform right now? You can say, oh, that's Pastor Earl. He's preaching on the platform now. You could testify to that truth because who's on the platform right now? Right. Okay. You could testify to something in the past. But here's what's so awesome about the Holy Spirit. Not only can the Holy Spirit testify of your past or the past. What do I mean by that? When you go into the Word of God and say, God, man, I'm looking at this thing concerning Jacob's life and the way his uncle treated him. You know, what happened there? And guess what? The Holy Ghost can come up inside you and say, I was there. I was there. I know what color hair Jacob had, what he was wearing that day that this little account was. If he wanted to give you that, he could. You understand? He could pull back your natural veil and take you back in the spirit to that moment and show you that event. He could recall it in your mind. He could play it. Just like we can go back and take TVs or DVR stuff. We can pull and play it. We don't look like that anymore. My gosh, if you look at us back in 2004 when we started, we don't look like that anymore. But I can take you back. Now, that's Pastor Earl. In fact, remember we did the Rhema Day? Y'all like, that's Pastor Earl? That's Pastor Earl. I should have showed you my first year and second year. Wow. There was a 40-pound difference between first year and second year. 40 pounds, right? Anyway, I only showed you the 40-pound heavier. You didn't need to see the lighter. I could pull some videos out. Pastor Mike and Angie, you know, I could pull some things. You'd be like, that's no way that's you. I mean, 123, a massive muscle, man. I was like, I make Raphael look like he's a beast. You see what King did, because I talked about his Florida State little hoodie deal, that he would be depressed if he put a gator one on. He went over and knocked my mic down in the second service. That's all right. I'll get him. Amen. So my point is that he was there. He knows every detail too, guys. He knows what he's wearing, what he smelled like, what he ate for dinner, what time he took a potty break. He knows it all. He knows how much sweat came off his forehead. That's how meticulous the Holy Spirit is. How do we know this? Because he created the earth. At the word of God, by Jesus, Jesus said, all things were made for me and by me. When the word of God came out of the Father's mouth, the word, that's Jesus Christ, when the word went forth and said, let there be, the Holy Ghost made it happen, and he done it to every detail. To every minute, on a molecular level, and we put it in it so that it could reproduce. Yeah. That in that moment, it had enough to sustain it for its life.
Yeah. Come on.
Talking about detail. Yeah. But the Holy Ghost also is right here. He can talk to us right now about things happening in our lives right now today. But this is what's different about the Holy Ghost than us, is he's already been into your future. He can begin to testify to you of things that you've not even encountered. And he can begin to say, you don't really want to make that choice, because I have been down that road. If you make that choice, take this one better. He's already been there, guys. And the thing is that we do not have a right relationship with the Holy Ghost as we should, because if we did, then we wouldn't take certain paths a lot of times. Amen? Now, let me give you another scripture here concerning his testimony. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 through 32, it says, the Father of our God raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as Prince and Savior. He granted repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, of whom God has given you to obey him. So the Holy Ghost is already lived our whole life out. The Bible says, before you were even born, all the days of your life were written. The question is, do you want to be in his book or create your own novel? Because the thing about the Holy Spirit is he will not force you down his road. So do not get confused. When we talk about being led by the Spirit is instructional. It's instructional, not causative. It's not forced. Okay, come up here, Pastor Brandon. It's not forced. We are to be led. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit. So I'm going to be the Holy Ghost. He's going to be Jesus. Okay, why'd you bow up like that? You all right?
Yeah. I get ready for you.
Okay. Just making sure, bro, because you may have to repent or something. I don't know if something was going on there, you know? Okay, so the Holy Ghost says, Jesus, follow me. And this is how it looked. Wherever the Holy Ghost went, he went. Now, the thing is, I'm showing you in a, you know, a three-dimensional form, but the Holy Ghost was in Jesus, had come upon Jesus, was in him. And so he's hearing it from the inside. But if you could see it where the conversation, it is this, because Jesus was led. If he's led, that means the Holy Ghost had to give him instruction. And the Holy Ghost is giving instruction because Jesus told the crowd, everything I do it because I've heard it from my Father. So, well, who's telling him what the Father's saying? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit said, hey, Dad said that when you go to the pool of Bethesda today, you're going to find this guy that's been on a bed for 38 years. All right? You are going to heal that dude. Leave everyone else alone. You're going to do that guy. Or maybe the Holy Ghost says, go to the pool of Bethesda today. Because he don't tell you everything. So Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. Now that he's here, here's this guy paralyzed. And the Holy Ghost says, hey, see that guy? Jesus said, yeah, inside, in his spirit. He says, tell him to be healed. Or ask him why he's here. Why are you here? So he tells him a story. The Holy Ghost says, you're not going to take him in the water. Just go ahead and heal him now. Tell him to get up. So in obedience to that voice, he says, get up and walk. And strength was made in his legs. He got up, walked, carried his mat, and went on. Jesus didn't do any. Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. Get that, guys. I do nothing on my own initiative. What I do, I've heard. But unfortunately, because we came out of the domain of darkness, we were led by our feelings, and we were underneath a tyrannical rule. He's called the devil, and he's a forcer. He does this with us. Come on, go on, go on to that party. Go ahead, have that drink. Go ahead. Go ahead, have that. Go ahead, get near with that girl. Go ahead. That's how he pushes. He pushes you. He doesn't say, hey, come on over here. Let me show you something. You know, he's more like, hey, this girl's fine, bro. You got to see this right here, man. And listen, you can't wait. You can't wait, bro. Don't worry about the ring. Go ahead. It's okay. You love her. Go ahead. It's fine, bro. Look. Oh, you don't want to see? Keep your hands up there. And he puts the smell of a perfume by, and then all of a song comes in and says, woo, baby, she's so fine. Right? But the minute you get born again, you can cause that voice to shut up, and you can say, shut up. Right? But when the Holy Ghost comes in you, he doesn't say, all right, now you got to get right, son. You got to get out of that party. You got to leave that place. You got to quit drinking that. Put that cigarette down. No, he don't do that. What he does is he says, hey, you're different. Now, I don't know why you back in this bar. I don't know why you're here. I mean, I'm here because you're here. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many bars, prostitute places, you know, pornography sites that the Holy Ghost is like, seriously, are we right here right now? Yeah. Now know this, the Holy Ghost ain't saying, what was that? He don't look. The whole time he's talking like this. What are you doing? Seriously, what are you doing right now? You need to get up from this desk. You need to burn your computer right now because you ain't got no control on this stuff. I don't even know I'm in this room with you right now. God loves you. We delivered you from this stuff, man. You're delivered. You're greater than this. You're a conqueror, man. You can do this. Come on, you can do this, man. If you listen, why are you going back over there? I delivered you. You know that stuff's no good for you. Now, I can't make you do anything, but I'll empower you if you'll yield to me right now. Just tell me you'll do it. You going to do it? Okay, that's enough. And he'll come and take power because you yield, and all of a sudden your hands become his hands, and he'll throw that stuff away. He'll throw it down, and all of a sudden you'd be like, wow, how did that happen? You're like, the Holy Ghost said, I took care of it because you let me. I took care of it because you let me. He's not forcing us. So again, guys, you can't think that the leading of the Holy Ghost is him pushing you into a direction. So here's the next thing he doesn't do, okay? All of a sudden, here's the way of life. Now listen. Brandon, this path here is the way God wants you to go. Over there, you don't need to make that choice, okay? All right? So I need us, when we're going to come up here, we're going to get to like this pole in the road, and I need you to stay to the right, okay? Stay to the right. So you begin to follow. Well, the Holy Ghost doesn't slow down when you get close. Come on up. So for object lesson here, okay? And then all of a sudden, right at the last moment when you're supposed to go with him, he pushes you over there. And now you're on this path and all hell breaks loose. And the Holy Ghost is like, yeah, come on, keep coming, keep coming. Hey, come on up here, I'm going to help you. Come on, let me help you. Come on, let me help you. Come on, let me help you. And we're back on the right road now. And all of a sudden, what do we say? Well, you know, God put me in that bad spot because he was trying to teach me something. God doesn't put you on bad roads to teach you something. You put yourself on bad roads. So don't confuse that when you get on a bad road, the Holy Ghost pushed you on there to teach you something. No, let's go back to the fork. What happens is the Holy Ghost does this. Come on, I want you to stay to right now. You know what you need to do, right? Okay, stay to the left. All right, so here he goes to the right, and now he's like, hey, man, what are you doing over there? I told you not to be over there. Now he's all in trouble, right? So don't confuse what the devil meant for bad, God had turned for good. So I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you again. I'll empower you. We'll take, now let's go. Let's get back on our right path. It's not a God detour to teach you something. Now, will you have a testimony? Yes, I didn't follow the Holy Ghost and got myself in trouble. But when I got over there, I wasn't so far gone that the Holy Ghost couldn't come find me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Give it up for Pastor Brandon. So the point is that you have to be intentional to hear his voice and follow it. He is not putting you in places that is going to cause calamity to your life just to teach you a lesson. When all kind of hell breaks loose in your life and you're in all kind of casualty, most of the time it's because you chose the wrong direction. Now that doesn't mean you won't be on God's path and there's going to be a lot of stuff trying to knock you off the path. That's a totally different thing. So again, if I had Pastor Brandon back up here and he was following me and then I lined up a lot of people beside, whereas he starts following me, they are pushing on him. Why? Because the devil's going to try to get you to knock you off your path. That's what he does. He'll try to pull you back. But if you'll stay strong with him. And in fact, at that point, Holy Ghost, it's getting tough. He'll say, that's all right, I got you back. And he'll boom, boom, start beating things off. He'll say, just stay right here. Let me take care of a few things right now. He'll do it if you'll yield. He never promised you that it would be a bed of roses tiptoed through the tulips. But what he did say is, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. And ain't nobody gonna be able to overtake you. Yield with me, because when you can't do it, I'm there if you'll yield. And they don't want to mess with the greater one. I've never lost a battle. The Holy Ghost has never lost a battle. You know, the Holy Ghost went to the deepest of despair. What I mean by that is he went to the place that is the most cut off from God. Spirit left the man and is down in the grave. And guess who went and got Jesus? He said, but on the third day, I'll be raised up. And it says, and if the same spirit, Jesus didn't leave the grave by himself, people. Jesus didn't say, all right, that's enough. I'm out of here. I'm just going to start climbing up out. No, he did not. No, he, first day, second day, third day, he's coming. Now, you understand, third day, that didn't mean 12:01. Bam. I don't know the exact time. But on the third day, there came where he knows he's coming. And he showed up. And he came down. He said, it's time to go. And Jesus said, not only is he here, got enough power to take me out, he's going to take all y'all out too. He's going to lead captivity captive. We got enough power to bust paradise wide open. All the righteous dead's going with me. Y'all, come on, let's go. And not a devil in hell, no spirit being, death itself could not hold him. Death itself could not hold him. The Holy Ghost was like, I got this. Death, I got you. Grave, I got you. Come on, Jesus, let's go. Seriously, do you think that anything in your life that the Holy Ghost can't step on that death, step on that grave and say, come on up here, I got something. Yes. Amen. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 Well, the Lord's good. And His mercy endures forever. It's a day in, day out relationship. And you will not have this kind of relationship outside of daily spending time with the Word. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that the spirit and the flesh battle daily. In fact, the New Living Translation, one of the New Living Translations that came out earlier, said it this way. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. Choices are in the mind. Your spirit, man, alive to God, always wants to side with the Holy Ghost. The question is, will you allow it here? And you will if you actually cultivate a relationship with God. How does that happen? You must be in the Word of God. Prayer alone is not it. Prayer is necessary. It's vital. In fact, when you take prayer into the studying of the Word, you can actually begin to understand it. And then you'll finally hear the voice of God. You'll hear God's voice. And you'll begin, why? Because you'll know what His You cannot know what His voice sounds like if you've not ever heard what He is saying. And the Word of God is His character. It's what He says. And I have found people who study God's Word have a higher capacity of understanding what He's saying in the Spirit. They know that's God talking to me. And they'll know that voice is not God. That's either the enemy or my old flesh wanting to feel good for a season, but ultimately that brings death to me. You've been free from drugs 6 months. You put down your cigarettes for a year. You quit drinking for 2 years. You hadn't had a sexual relationship outside the marriage in 18 months. But then all of a sudden, those opportunities start showing up. And they start to feel good, smell good. But when you know God's voice, you'll say, ah, that's a deceptive path. I know where it leads. It leads to death. I've hung out with girls like that. They're no good for me. I need a woman of God. I've talked to boys like that, men like that. They're no good. I need a man of God. You know, I've put stuff in me, but I don't need it. I have the Holy Ghost. He's more than enough. I'm not going to let my mind get jacked up on those things. No, I'm going to keep my mind sober and think on the things of God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, if you do, God will give you the clearest direction. I said this in first service. There's three things that I hear the most from the Spirit of God. And it is the things that are the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I hear this more often with God as I talk with Him and I read His Word. I hear Him say, peace, son, peace. It's amazing. In situations, I just hear God say, peace. It's all right. I'm with you. I'm for you. He may not give me any other direction on how to get out of something or where I'm going, but I know this. Man, peace. He's with me. Another thing He tells me, He says, son, you're right. Not like I'm right, but I'm righteous. You're in right standing with me. You're holy. You're living pure. Man, that's a big deal to be holy and separated. See, God talks like this to His children. What is one of the first things He ever said to Jesus? This is my son. In whom I'm well pleased. That's what He said to him first. Then after that experience, then the Holy Ghost is the messenger and says, hey, Dad said, we're going to the wilderness. We're going to go find the devil. So you're going to want to hear my voice. It's probably time to fast. And Jesus did. It said after 40 days of fasting, he's hungry. And isn't it amazing? The first thing the devil tells him and says, if you are the Son of God, attacks his identity, but then says, tell these stones to turn into bread. You know his stomach was saying, that's a good option. You ought to do that because I could use a loaf right now. You've starved me for the last 40 days. You know his body was talking. Get some of that. You get some of that. But Jesus said, it is written. Because he said what he heard the Holy Ghost say. Man shall not live on bread alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So everything you say to me in this temptation, all I've got to say to you is what I hear the Spirit say from the Father. That's it. Jesus didn't retaliate and say, I am God's son. He had already convinced himself he ain't going to have to convince someone else. The next thing the Lord tells me is joy. Don't worry. Cast your care. It's fine. Son, I got it. Just smile. Just laugh. Just have joy. We got it. And then there's other moments where he gives me direction, literal direction. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And in those moments, I work. And anytime if I get in a direction and I'm following a play and I realize, wait a minute, it's as if I don't hear God right now. Then I stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, is this right? Is this really the direction I need to go? And I wait. And I wait. And every one of us can hear God. Every one of us. So quit thinking, well, I'm just a sorry sinner saved by grace. We're all going to make mistakes. When you make a mistake, get it right quick. But don't believe you're going to always make them. Believe you could actually always hear God right. Jesus didn't go around saying, man, I hope I get today right. I hope I get today right. I hope I get today right. He said, as I am, so are you in the earth. Well, if Jesus didn't walk around questioning whether he could hear God, then we shouldn't walk around questioning whether we should hear God. We should be able to be bold and say, I hear God. Because I'm his child. And as his child, I'm led by him. And he's not forcing me. He's not following me. I'm following him. I hear his voice, and another I will not follow. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank it's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We praise you and magnify your name. And we thank you.